Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Good morning, Counsel. May it please the Court, this is essentially the second time Mr. Henry's case has been before this Court. It's sort of Henry the Second. Procedurally, this case went to bench trial on two counts of possession with intent to distribute more than 5 grams of cocaine. The first count was ultimately dismissed by the government, and we have the second count before you today on two issues, Your Honor, whether the government proved beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Henry intended to distribute more than 5 grams of crack cocaine, and whether the court impermissibly shifted the burden of proof on that issue to Mr. Henry. Your Honor, I'm assuming that all of the protections in a jury trial also apply in a bench trial, and that the government had to prove that Mr. Henry knowingly possessed with intent to distribute more than 5 grams of cocaine. Your Honor, the government didn't prove 5 grams of cocaine. It didn't present any evidence on a quantity issue at all. The record shows clearly possession of more than 5 grams. And I think the record has more than sufficient evidence to show intent to distribute, but there's nothing here that shows 5 grams or any other amount. This matter proceeded to trial on stipulations that sort of define the universe of facts that the court had to decide this matter on. Some amount of cocaine, about 10 grams, was seized from Mr. Henry. Some more from the laundry. And he had admitted that he had sold small quantities of crack cocaine previously. There was also, and this is Mr. Henry's evidence that he had used cocaine. There was cocaine in his system, and he had an affidavit saying he'd used something like 7 grams of cocaine for personal use at one time. In response to this, the government presented essentially nothing.
Well, except where he lived, they found a bag of 87.1 grams of powder cocaine.
Our argument is that the court had already said that wasn't his. The government had ruled that he kept none of his belongings at that house in a suppression motion. The court said that none of his stuff was his. The only thing he had at that house was his laundry. I think that's res judicata for the purposes of anything else that happens in this case. Once the court said it's not his, it's not his. And again, it doesn't shed any light on the idea about how much crack cocaine Mr. Henry intended to distribute. I think it might be helpful to pretend that this consumption issue was an affirmative defense, although clearly it's not an affirmative defense. It's something the government carried the burden on at all times. If we think of it as an affirmative defense, no, I plan to use it all up. I was going to smoke it. The government would have had to come forward with some evidence to rebut that. That's precisely what happened. Well, there was no evidence like that. What there was some argument about some cases that the Seventh Circuit has decided, pre-Apprendi cases that don't have anything to do with quantities. They have to do with intent. And I have to question what those cases were doing on the record anyway. That's unsworn testimony, not subject to cross-examination. I think that was plain error to even consider what this court has said regarding 6 grams or 30 grams or personal use quantities. I think that's reversible.
So then, just so I can be clear, though, on this 87 grams, when the court said that the $800 cash, the digital scales, and the inventory of 87.1 grams suggested Henry was selling a good deal more crack than he consumed, the court was in error Is that what you're saying?
So, absolutely, Your Honor. I believe so. I think if the court decides an issue for the purposes of a suppression motion, which is where this came up, and the court decided that Mr. Henry did not have standing to assert a Fourth Amendment interest in the house and so forth, the court found, as a matter of fact, that he didn't keep any of his possessions there. He didn't, except for his, he did his laundry there, so we can. But he didn't say he didn't keep any of his possessions except his powder cocaine or his scales or his crack cocaine or his spoon with cocaine residue on it. He said he didn't keep any of his possessions in that house. And once the judge makes that finding, Your Honor, I would argue that's the end of that story. That doesn't go any further. That's not evidence in the case anymore as far as belonging to Mr. Henry. So we're this is kind of an old case. This is kind of a shortly after Apprendi case, and it preceded a bench trial on a misunderstanding. The parties thought that the amount was an element of the offense. If you don't prove an amount, you don't have jurisdiction or you don't have an offense. That's not the case, but it's still something that has to be proven.
And that's what the district court's finding was in the stipulated bench as it related to the 87 grams. That's where that quote came from.
Which quote is that, Your Honor?
About the 87 grams.
Yes, he did reference the 87 right. grams in his finding. That's yeah. correct. And I think that was plain error because he'd already found that Mr. Henry didn't keep his belongings there. So this was kind of a random number generation situation here. We've got something like 10 or maybe 14 grams of crack cocaine, some total in this case, and there is absolutely no way, the only person I know that could get to how much was intended to be distributed in this case is maybe somebody like Soren Kierkegaard, where you can make a leap of faith, but that bridge was never built by the government. And the court said that. They said if the government had given me some testimony about, you know, some expert come on and tell me how much...
How did the quantity finding affect the sentence?
I don't think it affected it at all, Your Honor. This was
then what's the point?
The point is, Your Honor, that that is something that the government is now relying on to show intent to distribute 5 grams.
And what does it matter? Why do you think... I thought you conceded he intended to distribute...
Something. And at trial counsel got up and said, Your Honor, if this was, you know, kilogram quantities of stuff, I wouldn't be here making these kinds of arguments. But we're looking at 10, 12, 14 grams. And the government hasn't proven that of that amount, Mr. Henry intended to distribute 5. And they didn't, because they didn't put any evidence on that. There's no, you know, it's easy to do. Put the big drug expert guy on, and he says, yeah, people smoke this, and this is an amount consistent with distribution, all that kind of stuff. But there was none of that on the record. The only way that that kind of thing came in at all was through cases like Billups and the others that were referenced that didn't have any business being before the judge at all, because that's hearsay. So I don't know. I think I found this case for something so simple confusing to me, quite frankly. But I think the bottom line is the government gambled that it was going to show the judge 5 grams, and they didn't put any evidence on. This looks like an old style sentencing hearing to me, is what it looks like. And so, a reasonable jury couldn't come up with any number based on these facts. So, unless the court has questions, I'd like to reserve a little bit of time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schwinn. Ms. McInerney.
It pleases the court. I'm Patricia McInerney, and I'm from the Central District of Illinois, an assistant United States attorney.
Forgive me, but absent some testimony from the government as to the amounts of crack typical for personal use, on what basis could the district court determine that Mr. Henry, who is a crack user or was a crack user, intended to distribute at least 10.9 grams of the crack?
The district court had ample evidence from which to draw that conclusion. Let me first correct a little bit of the record here. The judge made no finding of ownership with regard to any of the drug paraphernalia or the powder that was found on the May 19, 2002 incident. That was related to a search issue. It was only as to standing. He made no findings. He just simply said Henry had no standing to object to the consent search that was given by the resident of the house. Henry himself admitted the 87.1 grams of powder that was found in the garage was his, that he had been purchasing it, he had been cooking it, and he had been selling it. And according to him, he had sold in a very contemporaneous time at least probably 25 grams of that, because he had bought over about a week and a half or 2 week period 4 ounces of powder, cooked it, and what was left was the 87.1 grams.
Didn't when they say he had bought 2 ounces?
4 ounces. A total of 4 ounces on two different occasions. He had 87.1 grams left. He had bought 2 ounces, almost contemporaneous with the arrest.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay. Also found on him was 10.9 grams of crack that was already prepared. That was found. He had dropped that during the chase. Now, you know, nothing was said about that particular crack. Once he admitted he had the 87.1 grams, he had been cooking it and selling it. I guess the police found, you know, felt it was not necessary to go in. But you had the 10.9 grams of crack on his person. You had the 87.1 grams of which he admitted he had been buying, cooking, and selling. You had scales within the residence. You had money within the residence. And you had cooking devices within the residence, such as a spoon that had residue on it that had indicated that there had been some process that had gone on. So I think that the judge, when he looked at the totality of the circumstances, was very comfortable in finding that he possessed the 10.9 grams that he had on his person, that he possessed that with the intent to sell it, to distribute it. The only testimony or the only evidence that Henry presented in contrary to that was, one, a certificate that he had completed a drug program, which was about 2 years old. From that, I suppose you conclude, if he had successfully completed it, that he shouldn't be using. All right. The second was an affidavit from a relative that approximately 2 years before that, they had known that he had used and had even at one point in time recited that he had used approximately 7 grams. Now, there was no other evidence that he presented with regard to that. He did not. There was some confusion of facts here that was given to you by Mr. Schwing. There was no cocaine in his system on this time. He was never even tested. There was, if you want to go back to the May incident, which happened about 6-7 months before that, and in that incident he was caught right in the very act of selling. So the judge had history. The judge had ample evidence that was found at the time in order to make his conclusion, make his findings beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, let me also tell you that he sentenced him by agreement. The government agreed to sentence him at the low end of the guidelines because he was a career offender. That gave him a sentence of 262 months. His range was actually 262 to 327. There is nothing in the record that I can point to you which I could tell you that the judge might not give him a lesser sentence if it were sent back. I think Palladino rules in this. We concede there was plain error in the sentence. We concede that it should go back for limited purposes.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. McInerney.
No other questions?
Thank you. Mr. Schwing, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Your Honor, Ms. McInerney is right. I did misstate the record on a finding. I'm confused about whether there was a test that showed cocaine was in his system. And I apologize for that, and I apologize to counsel for that. There wasn't a lab test like that. There was something else. The bottom line still is, and the district court found this, that there was no evidence put on the record by the government. And the court conceded this guy was a user, and it was, in the court's words, it's reasonable that he's going to use some of this crack cocaine, he's going to smoke it up. He accepted that, but the government put on no evidence to show that magic number. I mean, you could pick 4 or 5 or 0 or 3.2 or 9.6.
Well, what evidence would there be besides just the logic of the situation and how much he had and his history and so on? Where would you get the evidence?
What would the government put on there? They do this all the time, Your Honor, and they say, well, I have an expert here that says this amount is personal use amount, this amount is distribution amount, this was packaged for resale, here are the things that we see regarding resale.
That's the sort of evidence they had. You know, they had this 87 grams or whatever they are, and
yeah.
Do you think all that was for his personal consumption? Doesn't seem very likely.
Well, Your Honor, likely and proof, I think, are two different things. And again, I think that government carries the burden of proof on this issue
but
at all times.
But you can't get away from the fact that he admitted it was his, and he admitted to selling, and he admitted to selling, and he had the 87 grams left. So the court couldn't draw the inference that he gone to this stash and sold and that he wasn't going to sell?
Well, I continue to maintain that 87 grams the judge already said wasn't his. I'm standing by that argument, Your Honor. That 87 grams, the court had made a finding that it wasn't his, and that's res judicata regardless of
whether
so
you
said that doesn't
res
didn't rate
judicata.
And you disagree with her that didn't deal with standing? The court's ruling had to do with standing.
I understand the court's ruling had to do with standing, Your Honor.
Search.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's
sure.
All right.
Sure. But it's a finding of fact.
I understand. First, I don't understand why you call it res judicata. And I don't understand also if the judge just says that he hasn't proved that he had you don't have a possessory interest in illegal drugs. If the judge doesn't think that he has an interest in the premises, mm-hmm. that's not inconsistent with there being his drugs.
Right.
No, Your Honor, I think the court could have reached the standing issue without reaching the whether Mr. Henry kept his stuff there issue. But the court did make a specific finding of fact on this matter, and he said Mr. Henry doesn't keep any of his belongings in the house. What's in the house is the laundry. There are other ways to, you know, talk about standing or deal with that kind of thing, but this is a finding of fact that's made at the government's request, essentially, because the government opposed the issue of Fourth Amendment and exclusion. So the government gets a ruling from the court that says Mr. Henry didn't keep any of his stuff in a house. So once the government gets that ruling,
let's see are you relying on where the judge said the defendant did not have a possessory interest in 12?
No, I'm relying on
something else.
Yes, he says he did not keep any of his possessions in that house.
That's the next sentence. He did not reside there for any period of time or keep any of his possessions in the home. Is that what you're relying on?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, he probably means lawful possessions, right? You don't have a possessory interest in contraband, right?
Well, that would be a very interesting issue, Your Honor. That's like saying you don't have a possessory interest
in... You certainly do not have a possessory interest in contraband.
Your Honor,
you think if someone steals his cocaine, he can bring a lawsuit and say that's my cocaine?
No, Your Honor. Of course not. Of course not. But you have a privacy interest. People have privacy interests. And this court...
Not in contraband, you know. Supreme Court just ruled on that, actually.
Yeah. That, well, I understand there's no possessory interest in illegal substances, but that doesn't have, that doesn't mean there's no privacy.
I just think
interest.
You're misreading what the judge was talking about.
I'm reading his words. That's all.
Okay, well, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Schwing, were you appointed?
Yes, I was.
Yes, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf
thank
of
Thank you for
client.
Hearing me out, Your Honor.
And thank you also to Ms. McInerney. Next case for argument, United States versus Simmers. Mr. Bednarik.